Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Zayin, Amud Aleph of this page, has only 9 words on it. One of the shortest in Shas, but not the shortest. That award goes to Masechet Nazir, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, which has exactly 0 words of Gemara on the Daf. It's all Ba'alei Tosafot. This Daf also has some long Tosafot that we won't get to in the Daf Yomi. We are talking about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, who ruled that if an owner has a sheep and he makes it hekdesh, right? And he accepts responsibility for it. He says, Zareh alai shelamim. And he designates the sheep to be for his vow, and such that if it gets lost, he will have to replace it. So that's a form of ownership. And then someone comes and steals that very sheep and does shechita on the sheep. Rabbi Shimon says, that thief has to pay 4 and 5, even though it belonged to Ekdesh. And generally, you don't pay 4 and 5 to Ekdesh. However, in this case, because the owner is responsible for it, that is a form of continued ownership. If it gets lost, he has to replace it. And so therefore, he is doing shechita on something that does still belong to the owner, even though it's a sanctified animal. It's enough of ownership to require him to pay 4 and 5. That was Rabbi Shimon's ruling. We challenged this ruling because we know that Rabbi Shimon has another opinion that shechita, in order to count as official legal shechita, has to be one where the food is then permissible to eat. And in this case, we asked, well, this thief, what is he doing? He took this sacrificial animal and he's slaughtering it where? Not in his backyard? If so, this is shechotehutz, which is not permitted. The meat is not kosher, and therefore, it would not be a valid shechita. And according to the Bishimon, you only pay 4 and 5 if it's a valid shechita. So, how could you have to pay? How would you ever have a thief that has to pay 4 and 5 with a consecrated animal? And we saw 2 answers. Rabbi Yochanan says, in fact, this thief took the animal to the Beit HaMikdash, and he slaughtered it. And he had it slaughtered, gave it to the Kohanim, it was slaughtered and offered in the Beit HaMikdash. That is one opinion. There were 2 subcategories within that, whether it was done for the Baalim and the blood spilt, or it was not for the Baalim. Okay, and that's why, either way, it does not count, and that's why the original owner didn't fulfill his obligation, and so he's going to have to find another one, and therefore the thief caused him a loss, so he has to pay him, and he has to pay 4 and 5. That's one opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that the thief brought it to the Beit HaMikdash and slaughtered it there, whereas Resh Lakish said, no, it has a mum, it got a blemish, this animal, and it has a blemish, then you're allowed to slaughter it outside as long as you redeem it. All right, so that was the 2 answers. We asked about that, about the redemption. It's not kosher yet to eat when you just slaughter it. You have to redeem it also. And so wasn't that really not ready? And we answered that. There's another rule that Rabbi Shimon says, Kol amed li padot ke padui dameh. So that's what we're up to. We already proved that Rabbi Shimon thinks that anything that is fitting for sprinkling, it's as if it's already sprinkled. So that takes care of the Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. And so now we want to bring a braita that proves that Rabbi Shimon thinks that as long as something is ready for redemption, even if you didn't actually redeem it yet, it's as if it's already redeemed. And therefore, at the time that this thief takes this stolen sheep that was consecrated but got a mum and slaughters it, we already considered it kosher for eating, even if they didn't actually do the redemption yet, and therefore that's considered a kosher slaughter. So what's the source? Detanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, para mitame tumat ochalin, hoil vaitala she'at hakosher. It says a para aduma. Now, para aduma is a consecrated animal. It doesn't get offered in the Beit HaMikdash. The para aduma actually is taken to Har HaZitim and slaughtered there and then burnt there. And then the ashes are holy ashes, and you can't use them for yourself. Now, nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says that paraduma, that meat of the paraduma, let's say du shechita, and something tameh is nearby, touches it, whatever, it can receive tum'ah as food. Why? But this is a paraduma, you can't eat. It's a consecrated animal. And the answer is because there was a time when it could have been eaten. When could it have been eaten exactly? Right? It has to be sometime after the Shechita. Here it is. Amar Reish Lakish. This is good that Reish Lakish is saying this because we need this answer for Reish Lakish, who says that we were talking about a case of redemption of an animal that got a mum. So Reish Lakish says about the Paraduma, Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon. He's quoting Rabbi Shimon, the Tana, and who said, Para niftet al gabe ma'arachta al ma kol amedi padot ke padu dameh. Reish Lakish quoted Rabbi Shimon saying that this Paraduma, it can be redeemed for money right there on the pyre where you're about to burn it to ashes. The cases would be as follows. You have a nice, beautiful paraduma. And so he said, okay, we're going to make this paraduma designated as such. And they do shechita. And now one cannot eat this animal. It's holy. But then along comes, passes by another paraduma. I'm just saying, for example, why they would want to redeem it. And then the Kohanim say, this, oh, that's even more beautiful. You know what? We'd rather use that one. So what do we do with this one that we just had shechita? Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to redeem it for money. That's probably worth a lot of money. Okay, how much? $1 million. All right, we take $1 million and we say the holiness of the para will go on this $1 million. That's fine. And now the para, that the meat of that animal is now no longer consecrated. It is edible. It's food. And since it's food, it can receive tum'ah. Now, you don't actually have to wait for it to be redeemed, even if not, since there was a time where potentially it could have been redeemed and therefore been kosher food, even if it was not yet redeemed or never redeemed, nevertheless, since it could have been redeemed and been food, therefore, even now, after Shechita, it can receive tum'ah as food. And therefore, we see that anything that is ready for redemption, it's as if it's already been redeemed. And so too here, the thief slaughters this animal with a mum. It's not edible right now because you didn't redeem it yet. You just slaughtered it. Nevertheless, since it's ready to be redeemed, there's nothing stopping anyone. Therefore, that shechita is considered a kosher, valid shechita, and the thief then has to pay 4 and 5. All right, so that concludes that question. Now, we're going to compare the two answers of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish and ask why they don't agree with each other. We understand why Rabbi Yochanan did not accept, did not offer the response of Reish Lakish because Reish Lakish said that when would be Rabbi Shimon? There's two Rabbi Shimons here. Rabbi Shimon the Tana is the one in the Mishnah's case we're talking about. This is Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish in Amora, contemporary Rabbi Yochanan. We'll call him just Reish Lakish, the way he's usually referred to in the Talmud Bavli. So Reish Lakish said that this case of Rabbi Shimon is where the thief had a mum in it, and the thief slaughters it with the mum. So Rabbi Yochanan is not going to use that as the case of the Mishnah because he wants to interpret the Mishnah as referring even to an animal that is unblemished, right? Why do we have to only have a blemished animal as the only example of the Mishnah? That seems forced. Ela Shakish Maitamalo Amarke Rabbi Yochanan. But how come Shakish didn't agree with the very nice answer of Rabbi Yochanan? That's an unblemished animal. And he takes the thief to said, oh, we have a lot of pious thieves. Again, right? They don't mind stealing an animal, but then once they find out it's consecrated, oh, it's consecrated. Okay, I'm not going to eat it. He takes it to the Beit HaMikdash. So isn't that a nicer answer? Amalach utvacho u'mecharo. Or omechado. Kol echa de ite bimchira, ite bitvicha. Pechol echa de lete bimchira, lete bitvicha. Reish Lakish has an important principle that you only have to pay 4 and 5 if the animal would be liable whether the thief slaughtered it or sold it. Since the pasuk says these words back to back, tvacho o mechado, therefore any case where if the thief had sold it, he would have to pay 4 and 5. then even if he didn't sell it, but rather slaughtered it, he has to pay 4 and 5. But if there's a case where selling would not be an option, would not make him liable to 4 and 5, then slaughtering it also would not make him liable to 4 and 5. Therefore, Bahane Kodashim, Hoyel Dechim is a ben Kodashim, Lavia Mechira, Letno Betvicha. This animal that's consecrated, the thief stole a consecrated animal from the owner. Can he sell it? No, right? Kodashim cannot be sold. They belong to Shamayim. It makes no sense to sell it. It's like selling you the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm selling you an animal that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. There's no such thing as a sale. And if the thief went and tried to do some kind of a sale process, it would not be valid. He wouldn't have to pay 4 and 5. Therefore, he also does not have to pay 4 and 5 if he slaughters it. And that's if it's a kosher animal, that a hekdesh animal that's unblemished, right? There's no way to sell such an animal that's unblemished, and therefore he would not be liable for tibicha. That's why Resh Lakish says, I think it's talking about a blemished animal. A blemished animal you can buy and sell. You just redeem it, and then you can buy and sell it like regular meat. And that is a Shakish. The Rashi Shakish could not have agreed with Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, very interesting that derasha here. V'azdu l'tama yodit mara mochir terefa. Nidibir Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, chayav, amar chayav, v'Rashi Shakish amar patur. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav af agav delete, bitficha ite bimchira. V'Rashi Shakish amar patur kivan delete, bitficha lete bimchira. And this, what we just said, is consistent with their opinions. And then the following statement, if a thief steals an animal, now we're talking about a regular, not a consecrated animal, he just still goes ahead and steals a sheep, and he sells it. And the sheep is a terefa. Let's say it's missing a leg. So it's not kosher. It'll never be kosher. Even if you do kosher slaughter to it, shechita, the meat will not be kosher because it's a terefa. Now, assuming Rabbi Shimon would say that since it's a terefa, slaughtering it will not make it edible, and therefore that shechita is not considered a valid shechita. So you're not going to be liable, the thief won't be liable to 4 and 5. Okay, so within Rabbi Shimon, if this thief, he didn't slaughter it. If he slaughters it, according to Rabbi Shimon, that slaughter is not the same, is not called slaughter, it's the same as shooting in the head. The thief does not pay 4 and 5. But this thief sold it. He sold a three-legged sheep. So Rabbi Shimon says he has to pay 4 and 5. Although if he slaughtered it, he wouldn't have to pay. But if he sold it, you can sell it. So he's liable. Resh Lakish said he is not liable. So we explain why. Rabbi Yochanan says he is liable because even though it can't be slaughtered because it's not kosher, and Rabbi Shimon thinks it's only kosher, it's only slaughter if it's kosher, but you can sell it. Since you can sell it, the thief has to pay. So Rabbi Yochanan separates the cases of tibicha and mechira. He disagrees with that derasha that Resh Lakish made. However, Resh Lakish says the thief does not have to pay 4 and 5 since there's no possibility of slaughtering it. There's no such thing as a kosher slaughter for a three-legged animal. Therefore, the thief also does not have to pay if he sells it. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish are consistent. Itibe Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan is going to challenge the opinion of Resh Lakish from the following baraita. Ganav kilayim utvaha, terefa umchara, mishalim tashlume arba'a v'chamisha. A pretty short baraita that packs a lot into it. If someone steals a hybrid animal, an interbreed, a cross of a sheep and a goat, which is a viable animal. Now, an animal like that, a kilayim animal, is kosher to eat. Although you can't make it, you're not allowed to breed it, but if someone else breeds it, you're allowed to buy it and sell it, and you're allowed to eat it. So also, a thief would be liable if he steals and slaughters or sells a kilayim animal. He is liable to 4 and 5. So if a thief steals a kilayim and does slaughter on it, he has to pay 4 and 5. The truth is, if he sold it, he would also have to pay 4 and 5. The Gemara is going to discuss why it doesn't say sold here also, sold and slaughtered. Now, a terefa animal, If the thief steals a three-legged sheep and sells it, he has to pay 4 and 5. But here it seems like only if he sells it. It doesn't mention slaughtering it, presumably because this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who thinks that if you slaughter a terephah animal, it's not considered slaughter, and therefore you would not have to pay 4 and 5, and that's why it says sold and only sold. So that's what we say right away. My love, Rabbi Shimon, is the author of this baraita, not Rabbi Shimon? Alma af agav deletebitficha ite bimchira. So we see that even though Rabbi Shimon thinks that you cannot be liable to tebicha for a terefa animal, for a three-legged animal, never will be kosher. So you're not liable for slaughtering it. Nevertheless, Rice says right here that he would be liable if he sells a terefa. That proves it'd be Yochanan's opinion that you could. There's no connection between the two. This is a challenge to Resh Lakish, who said that you only would be liable in a case where he sold it, if he would be liable had he slaughtered it. And therefore, according to Resh Lakish, if this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, then a terefa should never be liable for a terefa. Amar leh, Resh Lakish answers, lo rabbanan. No, this whole baraita has opinion of rabbanan. Rabbanan think that as long as you do shechita with a knife in the normal procedure, even if it doesn't end up being resulting in kosher meat, that's still called a legal shechita, and you have to pay 4 and 5. So it doesn't matter if it's a three-legged sheep. You did shechita on a three-legged sheep. It's not kosher, but it's still called shechita, and you have to pay 4 and 5. So I say that this is talking about this whole thing is the opinion of Rabbanan. But we challenge Resh Lakish. Rabbanan, terefa b'mchira ita bizbicha leta, terefa animal. So according to Rabbanan, so you're only liable if you sell it, but not if you slaughter it. Why does it say terefa and he sold it? As if only if he sold it pays 4 and 5, but not if he slaughtered it. According to Rabbanan, any slaughter will make him liable to 4 and 5. Why not include that? So Resh Lakish could respond, Ve'elamai, Rabbi Shimon. So what do you want to say, Rabbanan, that it's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Kilayim b'tvicha ita b'mchira leta. Look at the beginning of the Baraita, where it says, Kilayim, one is liable if one slaughtered it. But Kilayim, would it not be liable if he sold it? It would, and yet it only mentions one verb. So just like it mentions just one verb here, it mentions one verb here, and just like Kilayim, it actually applies to both verbs. I could say, is it Rabbanan, and it in fact applies to both verbs. Ela tena tibicha v'huadin l'mchira, em al Rabbanan nameh, tena mechira v'huadin l'tibicha. Even you have to agree that in the first case of Kilayim, although it only mentions tibicha, it's the same rule even if he sold it. So therefore, I say the same thing in the second case, that the whole thing is Rabbanan, and even though it only mentioned mechira, the same law would be true for tibicha. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, not so fast. Rabbi Yochanan amar lach, hi, my, what are you talking about? I amat bishlam al Rabbi Shimon, I did the tana terefa behada, tana kilayim behada. If you say that the whole thing is Rabbi Shimon, then it makes sense that for one of the items, meaning for terefa, one could only apply one of the verbs. A terefa would only be liable if he sold it, right? Because, again, this is Biochanan, who say there's no connection between the selling and the slaughtering. And so although it's a three-legged animal, but you only can sell it just fine, and so you're liable to that. But if you slaughtered it, it would not be, right? Because this is a bishimon. And slaughtering an animal that's not, that's a terefa, does not result in kosher meat, and there's no 4 and 5. Since we can only apply one verb, in the second case of the Mishnah, the Braita, therefore, for stylistic purposes of parallelism, in the first case of Kilayim, it also mentioned only one verb. Even though you're right, technically, for Kilayim, it wouldn't matter. He would be liable whether he sold it or slaughtered it. Ela iyamat Rabbanan. But according to you, Resh Lakish, and you want to say that this Braita is Rabbanan, Narbinu v'nitninu, then both verbs should apply to both cases, and you should put them all together and write ganav kilayim utrefa tevachan umcharan mishum tashomer bava chamisha kashyam. According to you, if it's Rabbanan, who say that any slaughter is makes one liable to 4 and 5. So then you should have put everything together. If someone stole either an interbreeded animal or a tidifa animal, and he either slaughtered or sold either one of these, he has to pay 4 and 5. There'd be no reason to pick one verb. So that is a very difficult reading. But my reading, that this is a bishimon, makes sense. Only one verb applies to the tidifa, so we put one verb there. And then for stylistic parallelism, we put one verb in the beginning. So you see that there is a braita here that is definitely much more likely, at least, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And he's own. And here Rabbi Shimon says one would be liable if one sold a terefa, even though he wouldn't be liable if he had slaughtered the terefa. And this is a challenge to Resh Lakish, who makes a hekesh and says you only pay in a mechira case if you would be liable had it been slaughtered. The Gemara just assumed in that braita that kilayim, a hybrid animal, if one steals it and slaughters it or sells it, well, the thief does have to pay 4 and 5. So we want to find a proof for this, because hybrid animals, although they are kosher to eat, they cannot be offered as a sacrifice. So how do you know whether they should be included or excluded in each law? So we have se ketiv. Okay, it says the word se, if someone steals a se, right? So now what does that mean? Does that include kilayim or not? V'amarava ze bana'av. Rava says there's a general rule that we learn from the appearance of se in Devarim 14. And he says, we're going to come back to that pasuk. But he says from there, that appearance of se is a paradigm, that just like there, so too everywhere else that it says se, we are excluding hybrids. Therefore, if we apply that rule to our pasuk regarding the thief, then it says if he steals shod o se, it sounds like only if he steals a ox or a sheep, but excludes kilayim, so he should not have to pay 4 or 5 for kilayim. So how come we were assuming in that braita that one would? Shaneachad amar kera o lerabot et hakilayim. Since regarding the thief it says shod o se, so the word o is extra, and that comes to include that if it's a hybrid animal, the thief pays 4 or 5 for stealing and slaughtering it. V'chol o lerabotu. Now we ask, right? Now every time it says the word o, and that's an extra word, is that necessarily coming to include another thing besides what is spelled out? V'atanya shor o cheseb perat lechilayim o es perat lenidme. We have another braita that has also is about the extra words o, and it uses o as a limiting word. The pasuk is here in Vayikra 22 that says shor o cheseb o es. Notice here at least 3 different animals. Ki valed v'yashivat yimim tachat imo. Once it's born, it has to remain with its mother. You have to let it live for 7 days, and only from the 8th day and forward, then yiraseh l'korban yishe l'adonai, then you can bring it as a korban. So any of these animals that are listed here are permitted to use as a korban after 8 days. So now Wakama says the extra words all, why not short v'cheseb v'ez? So this baraita says o chesev, that word o comes to exclude kilayim, that a hybrid animal cannot be offered as a sacrifice, not after 8 days, not ever. And the next o, it comes to exclude a mutant animal, one that looks like a hybrid. It's kind of weird, but the parents are actually 2 sheep. But it looks like a weird hybrid because of some mutation. That also is excluded, and you cannot be offered as a sacrifice. So how do you know when awe is over here, as you said, proposed that it should be inclusive of a hybrid, whereas over here in this baraita, the word awe excludes a hybrid? How do you know which one is which? Rava says, look at the context. This is not just an automatic thing that you say the word oh, we're going to include or exclude arbitrarily. Look at the context. Regarding the guy who steals, the thief steals an animal, it says only 2 categories, an ox or a sheep. Now, an ox and a sheep, you cannot breed together. They have different gestation periods. They are the totally different species, and they will not produce a child. So since you cannot produce a hybrid from them, if I had just shod vese, I would assume that kilayim is out. You don't pay 405. So the word or, extra words, comes to tell us, not so. Or is going to just change whatever you would have assumed without the word or. Without the word or, these are two completely separate species that cannot possibly intermingle. So I would have thought kilayim is out. So here, or is an inclusive word. Gabe kodashim dichtiv kesef ve'ayez she'ata yachol lehotzi kilayim mibenehem or lema'ayetu. But regarding kosher animals in this pasuk, forget shod for a second. You're going to come back to that. If you just focus on kesef or ez, a sheep or a goat, sheep and a goat, you can mingle them together and they will produce a viable offspring. So therefore, if I had kesef ve'ez, by themselves, I would have assumed that kesef, ez, and the combination of them can be slaughtered. Therefore, the word all comes to say, not so, not whatever you would have thought. And the word all here has to be a limiting word. Ha gabe kodeshim name ne'emar shod o chesef, shenata yachol osi kilayim mibenehem, unrabe. Wait a second. You skipped the word here. You skipped the first word, shod. Why'd you focus on words 2 and 3 in this pasuk? If you focus on shod o chesef, then I would have said ox and sheep. Those cannot be interbreeded. So I would assume and hybrids are out, and then the word "oh" here would come to include the hybrid. So I'm using the exact same methodology, Rava, that you just said. Look at the context, and according to that, if I focus on the first two words, I would include a hybrid. So why don't you do that? The answer is midisefa lema'et reshaname lema'et. Well, no, since the second two has to be exclusive. Right, as we just said, so therefore the resha also is going to exclude something, and that's why, as we said before, there's two ors regarding what you can use for a sacrifice, one to exclude a hybrid and one to exclude a mutant animal. And then we challenge that. Wait a second, just focus on the first two words, at two words, one step at a time. The first two words, since those two things cannot interbreed, I would have thought that a hybrid is out. The word or comes to include, and then if the first or is inclusive, then the second or in that very same pasuk will also include something. Why not say they're both inclusive? We answer, hi Mai, what are you talking about? I amat bishlama lema'et hu tistarich tere me'ute. Daf al gav dim ima'at gil'ayim istarich le'me'ute nidme. If you said, as Rava proposed, that both of them are exclusive words, then it makes sense in the pasuk regarding what you can use for a sacrificial animal. I need to exclude two things, because even though I excluded kilayim, I might think that maybe kilayim, a hybrid animal, you can't sacrifice, but maybe a mutant animal, but that really is from two of the same species, two sheep, but it's just a mutant and looks funny. I might have thought that that's okay. That's why I need two ors to exclude both things. Ela iamat lerabot teredi buye lama hashta kilayim idabe ile nidme mi baya. But if you say that the words or in that pasuk in Vayikra are inclusive, why would I need to include two things? Once I include kilayim, which is the first thing that you're going to include, because right, we're looking at the two species and seeing do they interbreed or not. So if you want me to look at the first two and say that they don't interbreed, so I would have thought kilayim is out, then therefore the word or comes to say kilayim is in. Well, then you still have another or to include what? If I know that a hybrid animal can be sacrificed, all the more so a mutant animal that's not a hybrid, it's really from the same species of parents, oh, of course that would be permitted. I wouldn't need an extra word or to include anything else. Therefore, simply because, theoretically, according to, Midrashic methodology, you could use both to include, but I don't need anything. I don't need to include two things. Therefore, it must be that both of those pesukim are to exclude. And so now we understand, we have a source for why regarding kodashim, the all words are exclusive. saying you can't use a hybrid for a sacrifice, but the word "or" regarding the thief is inclusive, and he has to pay 4 and 5, even if he steals a hybrid. Baruch Adonai l'olam. Amen v'amen.